So James chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, my brothers, I'm going to read from the New Century Version. It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? Well, the answer is no. A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. And I might just stop here. We're doing some assistance for somebody up in this area right now. They called, they were being evicted, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we're prayerful about those things and we're assisting. But we're also wise about how we go about assisting. You know, one thing I've learned through the years is that when you assist people, be wise as to how you go about that assistance. I learned some things when we were down. I just said, hey, come in and have a free meal on me. And then I look up in a few days and the whole street was coming in looking for a free meal because one guy told another guy and another guy and another guy, and we had the whole street coming in. And I said, nah. So, you know, I'm saying I'm all for helping and assisting if somebody's being evicted or they, you know, in this case, this person had a job, they lost their job and got behind. And so they needed some help. So we're assisting. And you do those kind of things. Verse 17, in the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. So faith that does nothing, faith that just, as we read in Mark 11, 22, 23, faith that just believes and then doubts the things that they say is dead faith. It's faith that believes, or faith is believing the things that you say will come to pass, meaning the things that you say and you're believing have to be the same. They can't be in conflict. So faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Verse 18, someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God, good, but the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Let's say that faith that does nothing is worth nothing. How many believe that? Faith that does something always gets results. Faith that does something always gets results. And that takes time, but if you take steps in a direction and you keep moving in that direction, you'll get something. Little by little, you'll get something. You'll achieve your results. So real faith acts on what it believes. Real faith acts on what it believes. And so those are the things that we need to do. And what is our believing? Our believing should be something that's either in the Word of God or led by the Spirit of God. And if it's led by the Spirit of God, it's going to be in concert with or in agreement with the Word of God. So we need to learn how to be led and set some what I call spiritual goals. And as, you know, again, as we have shared in past things, you can't steer a parked car. You've got to take some steps. They may be bumpy, but you start taking steps, you start doing something, and God will make the adjustments. And so dead faith, or faith that does nothing, produces nothing. There's no results. So let's turn over. Let me finish this here. Verse 21. Abraham, our ancestor, was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did worked together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says, Abraham believed God, and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. And Abraham was called God's friend, so you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not by faith only. Another example is Rahab, a prostitute who was made right with God by something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and helped them escape by a different road. Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. So faith must do something. Let's take something, when you say do something, faith that believes, what did we say? Faith does what? Takes hold. Faith takes. So faith, if it's real faith, will take hold of that which you believe. So if I'm believing for something, whatever that is, if I'm believing for a new job, I'm believing for a house, I'm believing for a new position, I'm believing to get into this school, I'm believing whatever it is. When I take hold, when I'm doing this in faith, I take it by faith, and then once I have it, then I don't need to pray about it anymore, do I? Wouldn't you say? Once I take this, I don't need to pray about that anymore. What should I be doing? Thanking God that I have it. I thank God that it's mine now. Why? Because I took it. It's mine. So if I'm praying about a job and I take it, then I thank God I have that new job, even though I don't have it in the natural. But I'm thanking him for it. And what will the Holy Spirit do? He will then guide me and lead me into that truth. What does that mean? He's going to start showing me, just like people, you've heard so many stories, somebody will say, I've done it. Pick up the newspaper. Why? Because I said so. It's like a parent. Go do this. Why? Because I said so. Pick up the newspaper. You open it up and you go, okay, boom. Call that number. And so when you call that number, what do? You're just following a prompt. You're following a thought. And so you call it up. Hey, I've got an opening for a job. You're just the right one. I'm thinking of this young lady, a single mom down in Nanuet. She just came. She's been in this country for a while. She's from Haiti. She wanted a better job. But what's interesting is the progression, the timeline. She said, I'm going to increase my giving. She decided, I'm going to increase my tithing or my giving. I'm going to raise it up. And then she didn't do this to get something, but she decided first, I'm going to do this. And then she said, you know what? I don't want to drive to Westchester anymore. I want to get a job in Rockland County where I live. I want to get a job here. And so she said, I'm tired of driving across the Tappan Zee Bridge. I don't want to do that anymore, blah, blah, blah. And so there was an advertisement in the paper. But the conditions of the job She couldn't measure up. They wanted her to be able, she was in, I guess, some kind of a service type of, health service type of a job that she was in. And it required that she sign. But she didn't know how to sign. She didn't know. And so she just said, you know what, I'm going to go on the job interview anyways. Now see, I like that. She just said, I was impressed to go anyways. And tell the person, you know what, I'm just going to do the interview. And so she goes and finds out, and they said, well, you have to, you know, you have this requirement. And she said, I don't sign. The owner, the person doing this, says, I like you so much, I want to hire you. And he said, we'll train you. That's what I'm talking about. And she said, I got a $10,000 increase over the job that I was in Westchester. So I got a $10,000 increase, and they're going to train her on how to sign. And she said, after 6 months, I got another $5,000 because they like me so much, and I was doing such a good job, they gave me more money. See, that's what I'm talking about. So you need to profess, take. So she stopped praying about it. She believed, she received and took that new job. I have it. Now thank you, Father, for the new job. And she and because of that, then now God started leading her by his Spirit to take some steps in the directions that he gave her. Now she could have looked in the natural, but she walked by what? Faith. And not by sight. What was the sight? You didn't have the qualifications for the job. But they took her, hired her, and because she was doing a good job, they gave her more money and trained her. You know, in the natural, unless there's a good reason, a lot of employers, if they find someone that they really like, they'll invest in them. They will train them in areas that they're not skilled or trained in. And so sometimes we need to just, if there's things that we desire, that's what it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, and then keep praying. No. It says, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it's the same way, whether it's finances or your health. It doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor, but what it does mean is it says, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. If Christ took my sicknesses, not if, since he took my sicknesses, since he took my diseases and paid for them, since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he's quickening my mortal body. So I can take what has already been provided. I take it by faith and I do what? I receive my healing. I receive it. And then I thank God for it. I'm thanking him for it. Thank you, Father, that the power of God's working in me. Now, he may lead you. He's going to lead everybody different. He may lead you to a doctor. He may. And then he may tell you, lose some weight. Oh, no, I don't want to lose weight. He may tell you, stop eating this kind of food. By his Spirit, he may do that. Right? And so there's some natural things that he may lead us to do. And then we're thanking God and praising him. And the power of God is working in us, affecting a healing and a cure in our bodies. I remember Mrs. Hagen talking about this. She fell on her tailbone. And she said, this was a few years ago. And she said the pain was so excruciating, they gave her some kind of painkiller. They gave her 5 times the normal dosage, and she said it did nothing. It did zippo. And they told her, as the doctors, God bless you, good luck, you'll have to live with it the rest of your life. And that's what they told her. And so she said, okay, my husband and I got an agreement, Pastor Hagen, and he said to her, you start saying with your mouth, the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure. And she said it once, she said it 100 times a day or more. And she said after about 3 months, the pain started to subside and subside a little bit, a little bit. She said 6 months, gone. When they went back to x-ray, nothing. Healed. So again, we're going to have to put our words in operation. Our words are going to have to be in agreement with the Word of God. And when our words are in agreement with the Word of God, we're going to release, if our words are in faith, it will do what? It will activate the power of God in our lives. It'll activate Him to do something, whether it's healing, whether it's correction, direction, financial change, whatever those things are, our words will cause and activate God to begin to work on our behalf. Just like what Jesus did. He cursed the fig tree, and of course in 24 hours it dried up. But the moment you speak something in faith, it's changing. Whether it's good, positive, or negative. I've learned the hard way. I don't like to talk about this, but I learned the hard way. As a young person, I bought this car. Well, it was a company car somebody had. And they said, look, I'm getting a new car. I'll just, rather than, sell it for $1, the thing was clean. It was like a brand new car. He said, just give me $500. So I said, sure. It was $500. And I said this thinking I wasn't saved, so it was stupidity. I said, I'll not drive this car till it falls apart. I'm serious. And as I was driving one day, it fell apart. I'm serious. I'm not joking. The front wheel fell off. Now you think, okay, that's funny, ha-ha, but it's not funny, ha-ha, because I had released words. This took a long time, but I wasn't saved, so I was darkened in my thinking. But when you say something in faith from your spirit, you will have what you say. So if you say, my kids this and that, blah, 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 you will have what you say. If you say, we live from paycheck, we're just making it, you will have what you say. And so it's important that we watch what we say, because what did Jesus say? He said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, you will have the things that you say. That's good or bad. So if you begin to believe the things that you're saying, the conditions that you live in, you see, this is why when we look at what goes on, the destruction of the devil, and what he does to people, it's so insidious. It's blindness. Because people get stuck in living conditions, and because of that pressure, they begin to see no way out, and they begin to decree their demise. They begin to decree that we'll never get out of this. We'll always have this. We're never, you know, your mama had, you know, your father was like this, you're like this, up, 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 up. And this constant decreeing of things, you end up what? Making choices based on your confession. See, your spirit man will follow your confession. You will follow after your confession. The scripture says in Proverbs 4, see, these things, they may be basic, but I'm telling you, they are life-changing. When you look at Proverbs 4, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. That word issues is boundaries. So you set the boundaries of your life with the issues that come out of your heart, the words that come out of your heart. You may not have opportunities to do certain things in the natural. Maybe the way that how you were raised, or maybe your education, or maybe certain conditions hinder where you go and what you do. That can be a real natural issue. But you don't have to. That issue does not determine your destiny. You're a Christian. You are in covenant with Almighty God. And your words, in line with God's word, can change your conditions. If the Holy Spirit inspired John to say, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper, then God doesn't desire us to be strapped financially. That's not his desire. It's not his desire that we be not in, that we're not in health. That's not his desire. So when things start surfacing, we need to look at every day, what am I saying about my body? What am I saying about my finances? What am I saying about my life? What am I saying about me? You know, what are you saying? Take stock of that, because you will have what you say. So turn over to Hebrews 11. Let's look there for a minute. And let's look at verse 1. I'm going to read from a few translations, but I'm going to read from the King James first. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. What's the evidence? Your faith. Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me read from some other translations. This is the Good News Bible. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we can't see. So faith, based on what I'm reading here, faith is being sure of things we hope for. So what does that mean? That means if you're in doubt, if you're in worry, If you're in frustration about something, then you're not sure. You're not convinced. There's another translation. The Beck translation. Faith is being sure of things we hope for, being convinced of the things we can't see. Are you convinced of some things? New English Bible. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. So faith will make you certain. It'll make you convinced. Faith is tangible. Faith is real. Faith comes from the Word of God. God's Word meditated upon will cause this faith, this conviction to rise up in you and say, I take it. I've got it, but I can't see it, but I know I have it. That's faith. Faith is not wishy-washy. Faith is Peter at the gate beautiful saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, rise up and walk. That's faith. That's being convinced that what I have is far greater than what you're looking for. Amen. The Knox translation. What is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we can't see. Faith gives substance to your hope. It gives substance to your desires, and it convinces you of the things you can't see. Amen. See, here's the thing, you got to get a hold of this, keep meditating on this. Faith is not from your head. You know, you can't say, well, I will. Faith, you'll burn your brain out trying. It won't work. Faith is spiritual. Faith is of your spirit, comes out of your spirit. Faith is of your heart. Where does conviction come? From your heart. Confidence comes from your heart. Same thing. So when you have a conviction about something, a conviction, that's why I'm sorry, but you know, when you see people struggling to try to live right, there's no conviction. Because if there's faith to live right, right? It's of faith that I love God so much I can't live this way anymore. Otherwise, it's your flesh. What it means is you're struggling with your flesh and your spirit man does not have the dominance here. Faith does not rule here. See, it's your flesh. It's your desires. But when faith works by what? Love. And faith says, I love God so much, I'm going to live right. Isn't that right? That's just the truth. And faith has conviction about that. Now, you may struggle with that, but there's a conviction. I'm going to do right here. I'm going to live right. I'm going to get what God wants from me or for me, what he paid for me. So I'm sorry, but when people say, well, you know, I just can't live right. Well, you have no conviction. You have no faith or very little. Because faith, if it's the God kind of faith, there's a conviction that gives substance to what I hope for. My hope is I want to please God. My hope and desire is I want to live right. But faith gives substance to that. Right? So when there's no conviction, well, then the flesh will take over. The flesh will dominate, you see. So that's why it's important that in church, you know, we say, well, what do we come to church for? We come to church so we can learn some things, but it's to get faith in us so that we can go back out with what? Some conviction. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Right. Hallelujah. So your spirit will always respond to your confession. Your spirit will respond to your confession. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're speaking the word of God, then faith will come that way. Faith will come in your spirit by you confessing the word of God, and your spirit will respond to that. You know, you think about this. I mean, just think of it as natural. A person tells a lie so much, right? They begin to believe a lie. Their spirit responds to that. And the same thing. It can be good or bad. I'm going to just close. We'll pick up again. But I wanted to just look at... Proverbs. I think I have that scripture here. Some other translations. Proverbs 18. Why don't you, Proverbs 18, 21. And these are a familiar scripture, but Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen to some of these other translations. This is the Good News Bible. It says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. That's the same as saying, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Moffat's translation says, death and life are determined by the tongue. The Knox translation, of life and death, the tongue holds the keys. So your tongue will determine some things, life or death. One last scripture. Look at Proverbs 21, 23. Proverbs 21, 23, it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. The Good News Bible says, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. Many have lost their jobs this way. Opening their mouth and saying things to the wrong people. Right? The Beck translation, guard your mouth and your tongue and you'll keep out of trouble. Amen. The Contemporary English Version, the CEV, says, watching what you say can save you a lot of trouble. Yes, Lord. Yep. You say something, you say, what do you mean by that? Or as Willis used to say, what a little Willis say, what you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? Anyways, but God is good, and we're learning. You know, this is a lifelong process. You know, we could be developed in one area and not developed as well in another. So we want to develop our confession, our believing, our words, and if Your confession determines your position. Amen. You have not because you ask not, and you don't speak. You don't decree it. So, we'll pick up again next week. We'll pick up some other things, and I trust the Lord will lead us in this direction, but he may not. We may go another direction. So we'll see. But here's the thing, as we're living in our areas, our communities, there are spiritual influences that we all are confronted with. Some of them, you know, on your job, some of them in your community. And they can be, again, always remember that the things we experience in this earth, if they're negative kind of influences, they're spiritually motivated. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and so forth. So things that we experience, we're to operate how? Not carnally, but the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so some of the things that we experience can be just because you could walk in a room and not even say anything. And because you are light, because you are a Christian, they could say something negative because the devils hate someone who walks in the light. And there could be a whole handful of names they could call you. And you go, what the heck is that? What? Where did that come from? It's because you are a Christian and the devil hates you. They could call you a bunch of names. But always remember who you're fighting, who your adversary is. And so don't respond in kind. Operate in the love of God. Let the peace of God and the love of God dominate. Cast your cares upon the Lord. You know, when you think about it, the devil is trying to, I keep saying this, if we would just get hold of this, that when somebody gets up in your face and gets nasty to you, that's a potential person that could be won to Christ. And the devil, if that person comes to Christ and that person influences another person and another person, the devil loses control over what? People. And people live in areas. People live in homes and neighborhoods. And so whole homes and whole neighborhoods can be changed when people come to Christ, because they're no longer under the dominion and control of the devil. And so we need to keep that in mind, that when we are going about our daily routines, that just because you are a Christian, that you're going to come into some conflict. They may not like you. They may call you names. They may call you because of your ethnic background. It ain't got nothing to do with it. It's because you're a Christian. It's who's in you that they hate. That's what they hate. And we need to grasp hold of that, because that will move us from responding carnally and responding spiritually. It's the difference. That's a person whose life, if that person knew they were on their way to hell, they'd act different. But they're blinded. And so just in this area here, you know, we hear stories, we hear things. This area can change when people come to Christ. A whole area, you know, when you look at, you know, when you look at cities and areas, and you look how areas and cities respond to things that go on, you look at areas out in Tulsa or areas in the Bible Belt, you look at how areas respond to things, and then you look at areas that are in darkness. They respond with tearing up the city and burning it down. Not saying that the issue is right, but who's motivating behind it? And how should we respond? We should get people saved, get people won to Christ, because then what happens is he loses control over them and areas. And so we pray, but then after we pray, we have to then do. And that's everywhere you're going. You make opportunities to share the goodness of Christ and what he's done. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anybody have any questions? This is not the Bible Answer Man. I'm not that. But if somebody has a question or something that's, you know, I'll always try to attempt as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Well, there's always good checks and balances in the Bible, isn't there? You can't make God do anything, right? So I would say the turn over to James chapter 4. So we looked at one thing that said, okay, faith is this, and if I desire something, then I can, what things soever you desire, believe you receive it when you pray, and you shall have it. I believe for $10 million. I believe I have it. Right? So let's just see how that works in the Bible. God's not hung up on money. It's a heart issue. Where's your heart? Look at James. See, because if somebody's heart's right, $10 million, you know, he could make, in an instant, he could make us all multimillionaires in an instant. Boom, just like that. There's no limit with God. James chapter 4, and look at verse 3. Well, let's start from verse 2. It says, you lust and have not. Well, there you go. It's not a heart thing. That's a flesh thing. You kill and desire to have, and what? Can't obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because, well, you ask not. Now, verse 3. You ask and receive not. This is what you're talking about. What conditions? You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So, you know, again, God's not opposed to us having things. It's when things have us. When there's lust involved in things. What do I mean by that? When you know, we've seen this. People get a new job, get a new home, get stuff, a sailboat, a second home. And now, I don't have time to go to church on Sunday. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to win people to Christ. I'm busy now. Right? Well, that sounds carnal to me. It sounds like you got some stuff that's getting in the way. So it depends on, you know, having things is not the issue. The issue, it's a heart issue. So I think when somebody asks for something out of a pure heart, I don't think there's anything. I think God will respond to that. He'll give you what you desire. It may take some time. Always remember, we operate in this earth realm, and God operates through people and through situations to open doors to us. So I may ask for something, it could take a while. It could. So, you know, I think it depends. You know, as I said, you know, what are the conditions? It's always a heart condition. I think where's your heart in all of this? You know, I heard, who was sharing this? I was listening to something recently about Brother Hagin, and he said that when God appeared to him, he said to him, I want you to tell people that I placed my finger in your right hand and your left hand, and that if they'll believe that, when you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. And he said, I want you to go out and tell that. He said, you know what Brother Hagin told him in the vision? He said, Lord, give it to anybody else. I don't want it. I don't want it. He said, I'd be just happy staying behind in the background. Give it to somebody else. And some folks said, well, yeah, if the Lord told me I'd, he said, that's probably why you don't have it. It's a heart thing. So Brother Hagin, he said that the Lord said to him, who are you going to stand before when you stand before? Are you going to stand before men or are you going to stand before me? And he said, I'll do it. Meaning, you're going to have to answer to me if you don't do it. So it's always a hard issue. You know, whether it's an assignment, whether it's, I think that, again, the Lord spoke to me when I wasn't working the word in the area of finances. He said to me, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That to me means bank accounts full. I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with all of it. Now, he spoke that to me. I've heard, you know, Dr. Hutton, when he was here, talking about finances. Believing God, trusting God. He said God would just tell him, go over here and buy this painting for $25,000. What am I going to do with this? Okay, Lord. Turn around and he sold it for $150,000. So God will lead us to make money. But where's our heart in the money? Is it to consume it upon our own lusts, or is it to do something to help the kingdom? And yet, he has nice things too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. So I, huh? Sports car. Yeah, sports car. Nothing wrong with having a sports car. Hey, nothing wrong with having a brand new Corvette. Yeah. Yippee, yippee, yippee. Or a Lamborghini, whatever. I'm just, you know, as they say, I'm just saying. But it's a heart thing. It's a heart issue. I'll tell you when you know it has you. When the Lord wakes you up early in the morning and says, give your car away. And you go, no, Lord, no. No way. Or give your house away. No. Yeah, it's got you. It has you. It has you. That's why you need to just watch your heart. Even when you have stuff, are you that tied to your stuff? If God said, sell it and move, would you do it? See? Or give it away, would you do it? See? Or it's like, if you got to go, oh man, I really liked it. Well, you need to check it. Because it could hinder you having more stuff. I mean, it could. It sure can. See, it's basically, it's a heart thing. That's what he's talking about. It's a heart thing. See? So, I mean, it's no different. You got your dream job. I got my dream job. And he tells you, quit your job and go in the ministry. You go, what? No. And then, like Abraham, go out not knowing where you're going, where your job is, how much money you're going to get, and you got your dream job, right? That's when you know, whether your heart's, Brother Hagin talked about that. He said he was struggling. He talks about it. He was struggling. He said when he went out from a pastorate, he said the Lord told him, go out on the field ministry. And he said he struggled. He said he wasn't getting his needs met. He said, I fought every devil. He said it was tough sledding. And the Lord woke him up. He said, Lord, this ain't right. He said, this something ain't working here. This isn't right. He said, you know that scripture? If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, you were obedient, but you weren't willing. He said, I'll tell you, he said, it didn't take me but a second to get willing. He said, I just made this little adjustment on the inside of my heart. I got willing. And he said, when I got willing, things changed. But that's what I'm saying. You could be bumping around and the Holy Ghost will wake you up and say, buddy, let me show you something. And so thank God for his help. But if we be willing and obedient, see, we'll eat the good of the land. So it's all of that, that we have to be willing and we have to be obedient. Yep. Yes, sir. Praise God.